whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
9:17, we're back right on time. And it is the roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Our guest this week is the boss.
You can keep the camera on you.
Oh no,
you're they want to see you.
Yeah, you're more beautiful than I am.
I don't know. I need a haircut.
You're the what?
Yeah, you do.
Let it grow,
Shaggy Steven over there.
I know.
Let it grow.
You're bald.
Our guest today on the roundtable, again brought to you by Kansas Lottery, Dream Bigger, is our boss, Steven Spector. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, guys.
I was going to get you a candy bar, a Hershey's candy bar.
Come on. Why? What? I mean,
we just talk Chiefs.
Why are we doing this? It's a snow day. You bring the boss in who's in the Northland, probably couldn't get out of his driveway.
I had to take my wife's car because she didn't want to drive her car this morning, late daycare. It was
what
a whole
kind of car does she drive?
Honda CRV.
Is
so
that,
it's fine.
Is it, but you have a Jeep,
but I have
though.
A Jeep, so I gave her the better car.
Yeah. Will you ever have the rubber ducks in your dash?
No.
Can you explain that to me?
This is all new to me. I've just learned about this rubber ducks in the dashboard of a Jeep.
It just started like 3 years ago. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I think it actually, because I was talking to Josh about it, because he's been a Jeep owner for years, and I was like, what are these ducks? What are we doing? And he goes, yeah, I think they started in COVID. It started as like just a way to say something nice to somebody, like, hey, here
well,
you go.
Well, there's always
you
know, been like an undercover Jeep wave, but I've never been part of that like, that club. So
it's a Jeep thing. You don't understand.
Yeah. I have had a Jeep for the last 7 years, but I've never been invited to the Jeep waving club.
You kind of give me a Subaru
club.
Vibe.
I do?
Mm-hmm. Like an Outback.
I think that's...
It's not an insult.
Okay.
They're all-terrain, man. If you had a Subaru, you'd be...
Yeah,
all
I classify Subarus as kind of like...
I'm with Steven. Let's move on.
Yeah. Great cars,
there's a guy
obviously.
That works at the other state. Of,
yeah.
How about that parking job
I know
yesterday?
Another guy in a Subaru that I'm not a fan of, but...
I don't hate Subarus. I think
no, they're
fine.
Great cars. Great cars. I just don't think they fit my demographic, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're for 30-year-old men.
You're almost 40.
I am almost 40. I know. That's why I said 30-year-old men.
Let him live his life, Bob. No, I thought we had a really good topic earlier, and I don't know if you were tuned in or not. Who on your mindset, who this weekend, who's in must-win territory?
Josh Allen.
Okay. Why?
Because he was the MVP, right, until the last 4 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Then the narrative started that Lamar Jackson should be the MVP, and fair enough argument. If Josh Allen loses in the first round to the Bills.
To the Broncos.
Broncos, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
He loses to the Bills and he's in big trouble.
Yeah, if he loses to the Bills, he's in big trouble too.
If you lost to yourself, would you eat yourself?
I just think Josh Allen has the most to lose because Lamar has multiple MVPs. Josh Allen doesn't have an MVP. You're the 2 seed. You're at home against the Broncos. Lamar losing would be really detrimental to him, but you can make the argument that Pittsburgh has always given him problems. So you can see that loss happening. There's absolutely no excuse for Josh Allen to lose.
Okay.
It has been a collision course between him and Mahomes at Arrowhead for weeks. And if he goes out in the first round, even before potentially playing Baltimore, that cannot happen. Especially someone who had the MVP and then potentially could have lost it in the last four weeks of the season.
So you'd rather see Mahomes and Allen in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead than Lamar and Mahomes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've seen both.
Yeah, but we've seen Lamar at Baltimore.
Yeah, true.
We've seen two, well, I guess one good game and one, maybe the greatest game of all time at Arrowhead. So, yeah, I think Allen Mahomes is a rivalry. I'm not sure Allen or Mahomes Jackson is a rivalry.
I think it's funny you say the greatest game of all time at Arrowhead. I think a lot of people have some of that Schlereth on it, that stank, is that because they didn't win the next week. Like, if they would have won the next week and beat Cincinnati, I think we'd be talking about that game as the greatest game we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's still the greatest game, though.
It doesn't hold weight because of what happened next week. I think for a lot of fans, you mentioned that 13-second game, and nobody appreciates that game like you're appreciating that game because of the following week, you know?
Yeah, I guess so, but I think back to that fourth quarter, and it was just the highest level of football between the highest level of quarterback play
crazy.
You've ever seen.
Yeah.
And yeah, the next week takes a bite out of the story, But if you put the game in a vacuum, it's the greatest football game that I've ever watched.
Yeah, you're right. When you kind of put that thing in a vacuum, I'm trying to think what would rival that game. I mean, the first Super Bowl, obviously, with all the Super Bowls have been good.
I thought you said games at Arrowhead.
Oh, at Arrowhead.
I'm sorry. Games at Arrowhead. That's the greatest game at Arrowhead.
The 4th-and-9 play against Baltimore, that was a really good game.
But it was regular season versus playoffs, and obviously playoffs.
But also, that game, that loss, killed the greatest nickname in sports. We'd no longer even consider Patrick Mahomes the Grim Reaper. All those t-shirts, you don't see them anymore.
Very rarely do you see them.
I'm with him. That's the greatest. That game, and then the next game, I will say the Rams-Chiefs game. Those are the two greatest Chiefs games I've ever seen.
Yeah, that Rams game.
That was pretty ridiculous.
That was wild.
I mean, I know they lost, but I mean, that game, it was just like the same concept. It was like, here we go, and then you hear the announcers, did they score too quickly? I believe there's no such thing as that, but it was like, the Rams game that was in Mexico City, but then moved back to LA because of Shakira. And then you watch this game against Josh Allen, which, again, that's Josh Allen's greatest game. And no one remembers it because he lost.
The Bills reporter from our sister station up in Buffalo had a great tweet last night when Notre Dame kicked that field goal. There was like 8 seconds left. He goes, this isn't over. I'm a Bills fan.
No, so that was over last night.
I think it bothers them more than we celebrate the 13-second game.
Well, it should.
And it should.
It should. Because we had higher expectations. They were about to take the next step, right? They lost in the AFC Championship game. They come back a year later, divisional round. They have the game won. That was Buffalo's time to make that next step. Mm-hmm. And that's why it hurts them more than it probably hurts us.
So do you think most of those 13-second things are now like, you know, people keep it in their garage to clean their dipstick with? I mean, honestly, like you're just a rag in the garage is what those 13-second shirts turned into.
We've had 4 more years to get new toys. New shirts.
Imagine if that 13-second game happened and then we saw what happened the next week to Cincinnati and then we never got back. Like, how would we have viewed that 13-second game? We'd call it unlucky 13 or something.
Yeah, it's actually really funny. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, when you look at the last, 8 seasons of Mahomes, right? Yeah. I'm trying to think what, if I had a do-over, would it be the D Ford offsides, right, against the Patriots in the 19 AFC Championship game, or do I get the Cincinnati end of halftime redo? Because either way...
You're talking about one play.
I guess one result. Right. So
I think if you change either of those plays, we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But so
2 plays have prevented us from winning 5 in a row.
And arguably Eric Fisher getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, prevents another one. I mean, you can do this for a lot of teams in NFL history, but which one would I rather have? D Ford not being offsides or changing that Tyreek end of the halftime play? It's probably the Tyreek one because 100%. I think you guarantee yourself probably 3 in a row already. Mm-hmm. Now you're going for 4. It's hard to argue with.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. If you could change one result, it's definitely the way that ended at the first half.
That Cincinnati loss, the next year they won the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
And then the next year, last year they won the Super Bowl, which would have been the 3-peat.
You're talking about 3.
Yeah.
You're talking about going for 4 in a row. I mean,
and maybe you're not going for 4 in a row because maybe don't re-sign Chris and you can do the butterfly effect all the way down. Maybe Travis retires before this season. Who knows? Right. But yeah. You could be going for 4.
I'll also take something that we've said earlier in the year when baseball was happening. If they do win that Super Bowl the first year that Mahomes is a starter, right, do they still have that sort of force going forward? Just like when the Royals lost in 14, is 15 different if they win 14? And it's like,
losing
can break you but make you stronger coming back.
Chiefs and Royals are very rare to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very rare.
That 1920 team was really good.
Nasty.
Yeah. And actually, the craziest part is the best team of all this run was the 2021 team that lost to the Bucks. Yeah. If that offensive, that team was 14-2 and just an absolute wagon.
Yeah, they were really good that year. But look at what we're talking about. I mean, it's crazy. You talk about like who has the most pressure this postseason. You're like, well, Josh Allen finally needs to win one. Mine was Justin Herbert. He just needs to win a playoff game because this guy gets so celebrated for being so great. I'm not a fan, but he hasn't even won a playoff game. I think there's a lot of pressure on that guy.
Yeah, I heard you guys talk about that coming in. I actually don't think there's any pressure on Justin Herbert because I think this is year one of the Harbaugh experience. So
that's a good point.
Right? Okay. So this is not trying to save a coach's job. This is not anything like that. I think the Chargers are going to be a problem for a long time in the AFC, right? You have the coach, you have the quarterback. This is year one. So they went from Staley and a poop show to 10 wins, a favorite on the road in the wild card round. That's just year one. So I don't actually think there's a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert this year. two, three, 4 years down the road, yeah, if he hasn't won any, but this year specifically, he's on the road against a team that won a playoff game last year. I don't think there's any pressure on Justin Herbert.
Cocked and ready to rock.
Yeah, I like that. I like that angle because I wasn't considering the Harbaugh effect, but each year as a quarterback that you don't win is another year that you don't have left, you know, too. You know,
absolutely.
The clock is ticking.
But he's only, what, 26?
Yeah.
25, 26?
Same age as Bo Nix.
26.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is that old?
Yeah.
No, he's 24.
Yeah. Okay.
Bo Nix is 30.
I know he's old, but
Bo Nix is 25 next month.
He actually drives a Subaru. So last night's game, do it for you. Was that okay?
Yeah,
I mean, it was the first.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great. It was great. And I didn't even have any money on it, and I watched the whole thing.
Yeah. James Franklin, fraud. 1-15.
He made this national championship semifinals, so I don't know how you can be considered a fraud. Now he has the asterisk on his resume that he's never won a big game.
Yeah. 1-15 against top 25 teams.
That's tough.
I'd argue.
That's tough.
Bob's known that I've had this take for a long time. And it's about to go way out the window. Teams from north of the Mason-Dixon line will never win a national championship.
Right.
It's hard to get people to go to Penn State nowadays, right? Like,
No, it's not. I think your whole adage has to change because we're going to see teams, Stephen, I promise you, in the next decade that we never even heard of in both basketball and football start winning because somebody's writing a check, like SMU.
Fair enough. Know? But yeah, Penn State is not in the same tier as the other teams in this college football playoff, and he got them to within a really bad decision by his quarterback of going to overtime in the national championship semifinal. So I don't know if he's a fraud. But he's not. He's definitely has a hole missing in his asterisk.
Yeah, he does. He has a hole in his resume.
Sorry.
I mean, he was calling plays last night, and I'm still just to this day. I even woke up and I was like, he threw a slant over the middle of the field.
No, he did. Okay. The quarterback. He didn't tell him to go roll that's left fair. And throw right. You know.
But why are you just be like, hey, let's just run this out. We got overtime. Let's get out.
I don't
here.
Have a problem with them being aggressive.
No, you go for it. You be aggressive.
They were at the 35. Yeah. They had 40 seconds left.
So what? The Chiefs were at their own 20 and had 13 seconds.
Not Patrick Mahomes.
Clock,
and Andy Reid.
Hey, this guy up until that drive was being talked about. They're going to draft him in the first round and all this kind of nonsense.
Clock stops at the end of a first down in college. Yeah. 40 seconds.
40 seconds is a long time.
Yeah.
You go for it. I'm with you, Stephen.
That you got to go. 100%. Especially with how fluky college overtime is. Yep. Yeah.
You're guaranteed the ball.
You are, but you're also, I mean, taking a chance by going to overtime. When you have 40-some seconds left, go for it.
Listen,
that's
the first time I'd watch Penn State, so I don't have some like big Drew Aller take or anything like that. Kid made a mistake, but yeah, I would rather be aggressive and lose than sit on the ball and hope something good happens in overtime.
You know, he made a mistake after getting bailed out from a mistake. That's the world, you know.
Twice, by the way.
That's called even Steven.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
about tonight? Who you got?
One thing happens and another one happens and I'm even.
I wish I could tell you.
You don't care?
No, I don't watch college football. So
who would you want to win? Texas or Ohio State?
Texas.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't
in
like
in front of a longtime Buckeye fan.
Lifelong. Grew up in Columbus, went to Ohio cuz couldn't get into Ohio State.
That's right. Did you hear what Bob wants to start doing? He wants to start putting stickers on my headphones every time I have a good take of Buckeyes.
We're going to put Buckeyes all over our heads now.
Doesn't Michigan do that same thing?
Who?
Michigan?
Oh, that team. Yeah. Yes. They're fraudulent. They copied us.
Yeah, okay. I have some family ties to Texas, so I guess I'm rooting for Texas. But honestly not going to watch tonight, so I have other plans. So don't really care. I just want a good national championship game. What I will say, though, is someone who doesn't watch college football, because I don't have Saturdays free, college football playoff has gotten me in. So,
me too, yeah.
So I've watched all the college football playoff games. I haven't watched a bowl game in 5 years. This has been the best thing to happen for me as a sports fan / gambler / fan of games that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Great job by the college football playoff.
I agree with you, and you know where I've been on college sports, but Dion got me back in, and now the college football playoff, I'm like, I like this.
Yeah.
I love I don't care that the games were blowouts. They were on campus. They were fun. It was different.
They should do a second round of campus games, but
I don't disagree with that.
And then I would do eight teams, but that's just me.
You would do eight?
Yeah. I would do eight.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, like, Indiana's not that great regular season. You're not that good of a football team.
No, they really weren't.
Did you consider that one? Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or?
I hope it's something that I didn't say.
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
From the 913, talking about Drew Aller.
Yeah.
He rolled left and opened up that direct pass rush lane as well.
Okay.
Fair. The next New York Giants quarterback.
That was such a great tweet. I mean, God, that tweet was
so
good.
It's showing him with his hands on his head like this, and it just said, when I see a New York quarterback, New York Giants quarterback, I see it.
I mean, big athletic from a school that doesn't necessarily produce great quarterbacks. Yeah. The Giants do have a
They have a knack for that. They really do.
They more Todd Blackledge,
Old Mississippi.
Not that athletic.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhat athletic.
Duke.
Yeah.
Twice. Did you guys see the Michelob Ultra tweet that went out yesterday?
Well, they threw a can on the field.
Right.
But was it Jeremiah Love stretching that one, like make art sports? Was
no.
that it?
Okay. So Michelob Ultra puts this picture that the can, the bottle that
it.
Flew on the field. And most of the bottle is inbounds, except the neck of the bottle is out of bounds, right? Whatever. It says Michelob Ultra, new profile pic. Somebody quote tweets it, named Mahomes to Kelsey, at KC Mo Jimmy, and says, Isaiah Likely, week one.
Solid.
That's really good.
Yeah. And that's about the same amount of, yeah.
It's really good. Like, that's tweeted
that's really
here,
good.
Right?
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good tweet.
And you did the right thing. You didn't Adam Schefter it and, like, say, this looks like Isaiah Likely. You just hit.
No, I just hit retweet because that guy came up with a take, not me. I'm not going to sit here and steal his take. So.
All right, let's move to a sport you are comfortable talking about, the NFL.
Boy. Okay.
What's the big game for you this weekend?
I think the Rams and Vikings is going to be like 35-31 on Monday night. That could be really fun. I'm going to take the Vikings, but I would say that's a low level of confidence.
Okay.
I think tomorrow's early game. I don't think Saturday is very interesting.
It's very weak compared to Sunday.
But whoever Houston plays at 3:30 on Saturday in the wild card round is never interesting.
No.
So, again, going to watch all of them. But that Saturday is the least interesting of games. But I'll take Monday. Monday night, it's going to be weird in a neutral site.
Yeah.
The storylines of maybe this is the end of Stafford versus this could be the start of Darnold. Whether or not Darnold was seeing ghosts last week, does that continue into this week? Both teams love points. They've already played each other. I think Monday night could be fireworks.
Okay. All right. I got like 18 things from that little sentence you just said right there. Okay. Number one.
Remind me of my take.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I got to write them down because I got to remember what I wanted to talk about there too. All right. Let's start with Matthew Stafford. You said this could be his last game, right? There is that talk.
I don't think so, but this could be his last chance at a playoff run.
Okay. But let's say it is his last.
Could game. Be. You never know.
Do you think that the Rams then go out and trade for Sam Darnold, same offense, working for a guy that worked under Sean McVay? You know he's familiar with the offense. Kevin O'Connell can give a good reference. Do you see that happening?
It makes sense.
Doesn't it?
It like, makes sense.
If he's going to walk away, the Rams need to get Sam Darnold, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Minnesota, I pay Sam Darnold and trade J.J. McCarthy.
I would probably do that as well. But I would get both offers for both guys, and whatever one was the best offer for me, that's the move I make.
Absolutely. You know? But Darnold's a free agent, is he not?
But you can franchise him.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
You know, tag and trade.
Yeah, I mean, Darnold in Los Angeles, he played at USC, he's a California kid, all of that makes sense.
Makes
and again,
sense.
The McVay, Kevin O'Connell makes sense too.
And then you're talking about the game and whatnot. I know I have a different perspective on a lot of things. I think these fires have an impact on both the Chargers and the Rams this weekend.
I don't think so.
Moving a game and then all these houses are burning. You don't know if you're going to come back and have your house there. Are you leaving your family there? Like, I think it does have a big
impact. I think these guys are so hardwired to just, especially this time of year, block it out. I don't think that, but I mean, I guess
would normally agree with you.
Human nature, yeah.
JJ Redick's house went done.
Gone. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's an excuse, but I don't think those guys are going to use it.
Okay. But so. I think it does factor in because you went from a home game to a neutral site game, and now you're leaving everybody behind. Like, I mean, it all week has got to be tough as well.
For sure.
Trying to get ready for these games.
I also think maybe the biggest pivot win-loss will be Philadelphia-Green Bay. If Philly loses, there's going to be a lot of smoke around Sirianni, Hurts, A.J. Brown, that whole dynamic.
Big Dom. Mm-hmm.
Big Dom. Mm,
got to watch out.
Talk about him being the next coach in Philadelphia.
So I think that's the biggest pivot point of the weekend is Philadelphia, but I think the best game is Monday night.
What's the upset of the weekend?
I'll help you out.
I don't think there is one.
Okay, because I think either the Texans or the Broncos win.
No chance the Broncos win.
Yeah.
Broncos win. Book it.
Save that audio, Mac.
Please save that. God forbid.
I'll say it again. No chance the Broncos win. Steven Spector, 9:39, Friday, January 9th?
10th.
Yeah.
The year of our Lord, 2025.
Yeah, I mean, but is Houston winning a home game against the Chargers an upset? I know it is, you know, courtesy of Vegas or whatever.
Oh, yeah, because I haven't heard anybody say they think the Chargers are going to lose this football game.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win, but I wouldn't be shocked tomorrow if C.J. Stroud has a great performance. DeMeco Ryans has that team going. They're at home. That's not like a shocker to me.
Yeah.
Shocking would be Pittsburgh winning and Denver winning. Those are the two shockers.
I'm saying I think there's a chance. I've been talking myself into it. I think there's a chance Pittsburgh can win this game. Zay Flowers is bigger than we think.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh looks really broken.
They do, but they're 3-1 against Baltimore in the playoffs. And I think there's a lot of pressure that adds up to Lamar in this. Like I said, like basically the last 2 weeks, the regular season, you can fall back on the next week and be like, hey, we messed up some things. That clock gets exceptionally fast.
Yeah,
and
I don't.
The mistakes become that much more visible. And if Pittsburgh, which they have TJ Watt, who's a little bit healthier now, can disrupt Lamar, who doesn't have that quick option, like Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, those are his targets.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson's legs. So,
but
I mean,
if TJ Watt causes a fumble and Pittsburgh scores, and let's say they go up 10-3, they can't run the ball. And when they can't run the ball and they have to throw to Rashad Bateman and hopefully Mark Andrews, because he turned it on the second half of the year, I think he had like 0 touchdowns through 8 weeks and finished with 11. But again, like, I think there's more pressure to this game, and I think there's more to this line than people are looking. Is this like 8.5, 9.5?
Yeah, I looked at the body language of the Steelers against the Chiefs on Christmas Day, and then that Saturday night game last week against Pittsburgh, and Steelers look like a dead team walking to me.
They really have, but I'm never going to doubt Mike Tomlin. I'm just not. And he plays Lamar well. I think he's like 18-1 against Lamar or something like that.
I think the best chance for an upset is Green Bay over Philadelphia.
Okay.
Green Bay is the better coach. Mm-hmm. I'd argue that they have the better quarterback. They have a ground game. I know that team has not come into the playoffs looking all that good, but in Philadelphia, that team goes down 10-0 really quickly. That building can change. And we saw Green Bay do it last year against Dallas. They went up, 17-0 in the first quarter?
Oh, they go down 10-0, that building will flip.
That building will flip really quickly, and they'll be on edge. And then to your point, you don't get Barkley running. I think the best chance for an upset, you know, courtesy of Vegas at least, is Green Bay over Philadelphia.
No building in the NFL flips more than Philadelphia, or at all. I mean, you don't hear other fan bases.
Just a city in general.
Yeah, just ripping their own team in the second quarter.
Do you know what Sirianni's job is?
Head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Like, okay.
But what does he do?
Yeah, like, I have no idea what his...
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing if you are a good CEO and leader.
If he's a good manager of people, which can't say that he is, because based on the evidence, but that I would assume that his role is to manage the locker room and the situation.
Right. Before we be a manager.
Before we get you out of here, your friends of the text line, how did Spec get this job? Sertan locks down Shakir and Denver's pass rush is legit. That gives them a shot.
Yeah, it's the NFL playoffs. Everybody has a shot.
Yeah. But according to you, Buffalo is definitely not losing this week.
Buffalo will not lose to the Broncos.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you. I don't think so either. But I mean,
we don't see a lot of rookie. What's the record for rookie quarterbacks going on the road in their first career playoff start to win?
17-0.
Seriously? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yeah.
He's not messing with us.
Yeah, because Bo Nix, I mean, put all your money on Bo Nix then.
I have no idea.
Definitely not 17-0.
I know for a fact that it's at least 0-1 because Justin Herbert losing in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last year.
He wasn't a rookie, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right, rookie. Yeah.
C.J. Stroud last year won the home playoff game and then went to Baltimore and looked completely shell-shocked. So, I mean, that's the one I can think of from last year, at least recency.
Okay. Yeah.